Welcome back to Farm Talk as we broadcast from Minnesota Farm Fest, our final broadcast this year. Minnesota Corn and the Corn Ice Cream. John Madges or Madges joining me now. And John, first of all, thank you for making the trek. We did come and hunt you down.
well, thank you for finding me. Yeah. So it's, you talked about the corn ice cream. We had a great, great crowd coming through the tent today. So
okay. So well, you do every year. That is your call. For folks, even if they're not in the corn industry, they know about that corn ice cream. And the person that came with me, it's her first big farm show like this. And I said, you have to try the corn ice cream. And she's kind of like, what? And I'm like, yeah. And now she's saying, where do you buy this? Because it was awesome. So is that available or is that an exclusive to Farm Fest?
It's pretty exclusive to Farm Fest. So the University of Minnesota makes it for us. So they make like 100 tubs. And the tubs,
that's it?
Well, they're big tubs. So
they're big tubs.
They're big tubs. So
Do you ever run out of the ice cream?
They do kind of limit each day. So they might run out by 2 or 3
on one particular day, but then they'll have more for the next day. Right, so it is pretty awesome. And if you want to pass along, there are folks that would buy it if they ever decide to sell it. So put it out there. Maybe it's just me with the big belly. All right. So let me ask you about the show, first of all. We're towards the end of the second day. Your booth has been busy. I actually stopped by there a few times. I didn't even talk to anybody because you guys are so busy. But and a lot of times you guys end up with like the four panels. I think the U.S. Senate panel is going on today. A lot of times those candidates stop by your booth.
Well, it's been busy. We get a lot of candidates through there. They want to understand agriculture, and a lot of them don't have they don't have ag in their background, so they kind of seek us out in the other commodity groups, and that's why they're at Farm Fest to kind of learn more about the farm and the problems and the issues we have.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know. I'm just curious. So did Brooke Rollins make it to your guys' stand? I'd heard that she was going to corn and she was going to soybeans.
She was actually yesterday morning. We had a round table in our tent at 8:30, and I was part of that round table. So it was. She's a quite personable person. She asked a lot of questions, and she's mainly talking about the technology, more modern technology to make it easier for the farmers to record their crops and things like that.
Well, I would say this. I can't speak to her a large amount, but I would say, because she was up in Fargo about a half a year ago as well and spoke up there, she knows her business and she's working her tail off.
Right. Yeah, she's,
that's what I would say about her.
Yeah, so her grandparents actually are from Minnesota by Clear Lake. So she
had a small time here. Is that?
That's right. So she has Minnesota roots to her. So.
Okay. Well, one of the couple of things we wanted to talk to you about, John, first of all, you are the past chair of the Research and Promotion Council, basically our checkoff dollars for corn.
Right.
And so we wanted to speak a little bit about that today because people like to know what's happening with the checkoff dollars. And so I guess, what message would you put out there to our listeners?
So I guess the message I want to put out there is we kind of have a theme that you check off delivers. And, as you know, one penny from every bushel of corn sold gets checked off. And and we're responsible for spending that money on different items. So we do a lot of research with different entities. University of Minnesota is our biggest one. We spend over $2 million a year just with the University of Minnesota doing. And we're researching, nitrogen management, nutrient management, new uses for corn, new uses for, corn plastics from biofuels. And ethanol is another big issue, a lot of promotion on ethanol, things like that. But that checkoff dollar also supports, like the National Corn Growers and the U.S. Grains and Bioproducts Council, which is our exporting arm of the corn in the United States.
Is there going to be a large corn party if E15 finally gets passed?
I think so. They were pretty excited when it passed the House because they've been working on it a long time. And now the Senate has it in their sights, so hopefully.
This week, maybe.
Hopefully it gets done. Right?
Yeah, we'll see how that. Sure, something we could use. I've been a long proponent. A lot of people have as well, but I just wanted to throw it out there. I think people, we haven't talked about it as much, maybe in the last year or two, but because of everything with E15 and Farm Bill and all this other stuff, there's been a lot of conversation. But the development of use of corn in other things, including clothing. Is I don't know if people realize the amount of different things that are out there.
Right. There's clothing lines out there. It's kind of like a spandex material. There's filters for your furnace out there. There's different uses for corn. And each year the National Corn Growers has got like a corn challenge with new items that you can make from corn. So that's kind of been a big hit. So.
I'm assuming you guys do the same thing as North Dakota does. Like once a year you guys get together and listen to proposals for new uses, then you decide what you do with your money from there.
We have a process that we put out a request for proposals for research and different things, and we'll get quite a few proposals in. And then as a team, we try to narrow it down what's our strategic plan, what do we want to invest in, and so we do that. And,
you guys are probably still looking for the million-dollar fix, though, right?
It's the big new use, right?
Yeah.
So it's what can grind more corn. And right now, maritime ethanol use is looking like, it's kind of on the horizon. But if we could get some maritime use in. And,
yes.
And a lot of these ships have got to get cleaner burning fuel, and they're starting to pull that direction a little bit, so.
I'm just reaching in the dark here a little bit, but it seems to me there was like a blue flame technology deal at one time, too.
There was.
Is that still going or is that not?
Well, it's kind of quieted down, but John Deere actually has got an E98 tractor that they're experimenting with an all-ethanol engine.
Okay.
And they got a few models out there right now, kind of demo models that they're working with on. So there is some interest in ethanol technology that runs like a diesel, basically, yes.
What is the biggest question you get from a grower as far as the checkoff, just what's my money being used for? What's the money being used for?
Basically, how are you spending my dollar? And when you try to explain all the things that we're doing, and they understand. And it's a voluntary system, so, if a grower, they could ask for it back. But we have, 95, 96% leave it in there because they know that they're getting value for that dollar.
You would be hard-pressed not to be able to say, look at a newspaper. I mean, there's just uses. There's plenty of uses out there, and you guys are definitely working your tail off. When is the next big thing for you? So now you're in the retirement slope. Your past chair, I'm not quite sure what that means. Does that mean you're not going to the meetings anymore?
Because
I know plenty of past chairs that are still going to the meetings.
Well, they just push you in a corner. We have a lot of political people coming in the tent the last couple of days, and a lot of them we have developed relationships with. So they use it in that way. And it's that old knowledge or whatever you want to say.
Right.
They need that knowledge on the board.
So speaking of that knowledge that he doesn't want to leave, the other part of this is your son is taking over for you, too, on the farm.
Yeah, our oldest son, Andrew, he's starting to take over the farm the last couple of years. So So he's a long-distance farmer right now. He still works in the Fargo area.
Yeah.
But
is he coming back?
He's coming back once we find a house to move to.
So
we move. And so we've been looking for a place, and hopefully we find one soon.
So I was asking you about this before, and I know several people, and every year is the same, but what does retirement mean to you? And to me, it actually means probably going somewhere warm and not working anymore. For you, it just means here's the bills. I'll go on the tractor.
Yeah. You're right. Now you pay the bills, and I'll drive, and you figure out.
Here's the stress.
Yeah. You take care of that, right?
So you're planning to stick around and be that cheap labor for a while.
I'll be cheap labor for a while.
That is awesome. All right. So it is good to hear. I like to share the stories too, because for a while we were talking about that the younger generation maybe didn't want to come back and be on the farm, but I hear more and more it's the exact opposite.
Right.
So
They want that opportunity just like we did, and I think they'll be excellent in the long run. I think it's good for America.
Got to get some things fixed. Got to get a farm bill. Got to get commodity prices up. Got to get trade fixed. But it can happen.
So we got a lot of representatives here from the political world, and that's what we're talking about. So.
Do you have gray hair yet?
Hopefully, I don't have to
watch that. All right. Well, John, thank you very much. I appreciate you coming over, and we'll trek you back to the tent because you're on the other side. But I appreciate you stopping by. Thank you.
Well, thank you. So.
All right. That's going to do it for our coverage here at Minnesota Farm Fest. And a big thank you to Justin and our friends from SprayTech.